And we're holding on page 52 in Sanhedrin, the eighth line, middle of Ois Nun Vav. We learned yesterday about the Golos of Yechonia and how that was Mechaper for his Averis, even to the extent that we said that his grandson became the leader of the Jewish people after that, at the time of the building of the second Beis Hamikdash. So now talking about the Golos of Yechonia as well. The Gemara says, Omer of Chista, Omer Ma'ukva, Va'ami va'Omer of Chista, Dorosh Mori Bar Mar. So one version is he said in the name of Ma'ukva, one version is that of Chista is saying that Mori Bar Mar, Darshan as follows. My Dichtiv, the Pasuk says in Daniel, Daniel is saying a long tefillah over there, he had miscalculated when Golos Bavel was going to end. He knew there was a nevuah of Yirmiyah that Golos Bavel was supposed to last 70 years. He thought it was supposed to start from when Bavel conquered Eretz Yisrael, which was 18 years before the Churban. At that point was when Kodesh announced that they can go build the second Beis HaMikdash, but then the Tzara Yehuda Ben Yamin, the Kusim, and the various other anti-Semites got involved and then mastered on them to the king, and the work was stopped, and now Daniel is extremely concerned that it sounds like the Geula may not come. So he just has a long tefillah to Hashem. We have parts of it in davening, when we have in Monday and Thursday davening, Va'atah Hashem Alekeinu, Asher Etzeseh, Samcha Yisrael, Meretz Yisrael, B'yad Chazaka, and a few psukim after that, Hatei Elakai Oz, Necho Rishma, all of that comes from that tefillah of Daniel's. Anyway, so he says, in his tefillah, Vayishkod Hashem Alara, Hashem was quick with the evil. Vayishkod means to be quick about it, like makel shoked, like an almond which blossoms and produces fruit very quickly. So Hashem hurried up the evil, vayvi'eha aleinu, and Hashem brought it on us, ki tzadik Hashem alekeinu, because Hashem, our God, is righteous. So what does that mean? What's the connection? Hashem brought the evil, the golos, and everything on us quickly, and that's that Hashem is a tzaddik. So Ella, so Ain. What it means is Zaka Osa Kodesh Baruch Hu in Yisrael means that there had to be a golos, but the fact that Hashem made the golos happen when it did, that Hashem brought it up, that Hashem brought it about quickly, Shehikdim Golos Sidgia Va'od Golos Yechonia Kayemis. Hashem brought about the golos of Sidgia at the time of the actual Churban took place when the people from the golos of Yechonia were still present. There were 11 years between Yechonia's golos and Sidgia's golos. So therefore, Yechonia was king, like we learned yesterday, for 3 months and a bit. And then when he was captured, when taken prisoner, when he surrendered and was taken prisoner to Babel, so then Nebuchadnezzar appointed his uncle Matanya and renamed him Sidkia, and Sidkia ruled for 11 years. So there's 11 years between the two Golosim. So when the people who were along with Sidkia were taken into Golos, the people who had been brought there 11 years earlier from the time of Yechonia were still alive and still functioning. And as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, they were the top level Talmid Chachamim of the Jewish people. So that way, it meant, in other words, that the new exiles come there and they find a solid infrastructure of Torah in Bavel. Which, in fact, we see historically that Bavel, after that, remained one of the central Mokum Torah, one of the central Mokumus Torah of the Jewish people for 1,500 years after that, all the way until the end of the time of the Goyim. Even after that, of course, they still had Kehillos until almost modern times, but to be the center of Torah in the world, that we have down all the way down to the time of Rav Hai Goyim. Anyway, so dichtib begolos Yechonia. So what's so special about the golos of Yechonia? We find by that golos, when the pasuk describes who was taken into exile, so it lists various groups, and then it says achorosh v'hamasker elef. There were 1,000 of the chorosh and masker. Now the simple meaning of chorosh would be craftsmen, and masker would mean locksmiths. But we have to understand that it doesn't just mean carpenters and locksmiths, for a number of reasons. Marshall points out one reason is, another meaning of masker would be people who are in charge of locking and unlocking the gates. Targum Yonason, in fact, translates the word masker as tara'aya, the people who are responsible for closing the gates. But the pasuk continues, hakogi birdim osim mechoma. These are all mighty men who knew how to wage war. Now, craftsmen and gatekeepers or locksmiths are not usually mighty soldiers. So how do they come to have both qualities? So no, what we're meant to understand is they were great in Torah, and they were mighty in Torah, and why they're called a chorosh and a masker, the Gemara is going to explain. Another point some of Foshim make is because we're saying they're all gibodim osim ochama, but when they're being taken into Golos, they're not mighty and they're not waging war. So then it should have said something along the lines of they had been mighty men of war or something like that. Like this one, we understand that it means from the Chachamim, then nevertheless, even when they're in Golos, they still continue to be mighty and waging the war of Torah. So why do we call them a Chorosh v'Hamasker? Chorosh, we call that, is Meloshim Chakeresh, like being mute. Once they open up and start saying something in Torah, then everybody else becomes like mute. So like nobody else has anything to add on top of what they're saying. Masker, and then the word masker from the word sogar to close, kivin shesogar in bahalocha. The other way also, once they end something, once they close off in halocha, shuvain poschim, then nobody's going to open it again. Which Rashi says means, in other words, if there's something in Torah that they don't know, then nobody else is going to know either. Like nobody can reopen the matter after them. Al derech, like they say, for example, about Rabbi Akiva Eger, it's brought that when Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves something as tzorach iyun, you better believe it's tzorach iyun. Nobody's gonna find an answer for it that easily. So this is a chorosh v'hamasker. V'kamahoyu elef. How many were they? 1,000. Why does the Gemara need to mention that point? It actually says in the pasuk the word elef. So one thing is, Maharsha points out that the Gemara wants to stress the point. We should realize there were a lot of them. Therefore, now this fits with what we're saying over here, that this was the chesed of Hashem. You had a solid core of 1,000 top levels from the Chachamim that were in Babel, and Hashem made sure that it's only 11 years until the next Golos, so that all of them are still alive and well and able to influence the newcomers. Maharsha points out like this. Now, there's a Gemara, which we're going to have, there's a Gemara that, it's a Gemara in Erchen, I think it's also later in Arma Sechta, there's only a few times in Tanakh where you have the word Bereshis. You have it, of course, at the beginning of the Torah, but after that, you have it mentioned in connection with Sidkiah, and also in connection with Yehoyakim, who was the father of Yechoniah. Now, why Dafka in those places? So the Gemara says because Yehoyakim was a terrible Rosh. We're going to learn about him later in the Masechta. He was one of the worst Roshoyim among the kings, among the Jewish kings. So Hashem would have thought to return the whole world to Torah Uvavayu, to start all over again from Bereshis. But because there were Tzadikim in his generation, therefore Hashem didn't do that. Whereas by Sidkiyahu, two kings later, it's the other way around. Sidkiyahu himself was a great tzaddik. The pasuk describes him as a rosha, but that's because he wasn't moicha in the people in the rishoyim of his times, and then various other considerations, but in his personal life he was a tzaddik. Anyway, but the people, his subjects, were rishoyim, same thing. Then Hashem, because of his subjects, Hashem was going to return the whole world to Teru Bavayu, but for the sake of Sidkiyahu, Hashem left the world going. The point being, in other words, now, if there are only two kings apart, in between them you only have Yechoniah, 3 months, who's king 3 months, has it turned min akotza el akotza like that, that Yehoyakim, his subjects are tzaddikim, and Sidkiyahu is our Rishoyim. That's why, because the tzaddikim, the Tumen HaChachamim, had been taken to Babel. Now, of course, they're still in the world, but in other words, apparently, when we're talking about what the ones that Hashem is primarily looking at and decide whether it's worth to keep the world running, he's mainly going to focus on the ones in Eretz Yisrael, apparently. So that's the point, that these 1,000 were there, and therefore that now they could influence, so now when this whole wave of Rishoyim come together with Sidkiyahu, so now these Chorosh Ma'amaskar Elef are able to influence them positively, so that Bavel becomes and remains a Mokum Torah. Another point before I should say the reason why the Gemara has to mention the Kamahayu Elef is because the Pasuk also has other figures over there. There's a larger figure. It mentions 10,000 over there, the total number of people who were taken in that Golos, among them a Chorosh Hamaskar Elef. So you should realize that the Chorosh and Hamaskar themselves, number 1,000, but then there are various other lesser level Tamar Chacham who went along with them also. So all of that is one explanation of the chesed, of the tzedakah that Hashem did by bringing the Golos quickly, so that, in other words, had the Golos been a couple of decades apart, many of those Chorosh Ramaskar would have passed away, and they wouldn't have been able to influence the newcomers, the Tzidkiyahu's subject, Tzidkiyahu's generation, so positively. Ula Omar, Ula says another meaning of Vayishked Hashem al Ra. Shehiktim shtei shanim l'vinei shantem, that Hashem brought the Golos 2 years before v'nei shantem. You have the pasuk in Parashas Vayeshanan, we lay it sitch above morning. Kisolad bonim of nevonim v'nei shantim ba'aretz, when you're going to have children and children's children and become old in the land, and then the pasuk continues and you're going to end up being corrupt and worshipping Avodah Zarah, and then you're going to go into Golos. The word v'nei shantim is gematria 852. So that's a hint that there's going to be 852 years from when they enter Eretz Yisrael until there comes that point when there's going to be a Golos. Doesn't mean, of course, they have the Chiruch Hafshis, but in other words, it's like, in other words, something is going to happen after 852 years. It's not going to be the same as it was before. Alderach, like it says about the year of the Mabul, for example, so the Zohar brings, for example, that the year of the Mabul was destined, there's going to be some great hashpa coming milamayla. If they'd been worthy, then it actually would have been Matan Torah would have been that year, says the Zohar. Because they weren't, then it was a killing rain of the Mabul. The same thing over here. After Rene Shantim, there's got to be something. What that something is depends on the maisim of the Jewish people. But also it means Hashem is saying the maximum I'm going to tolerate your vishchatim, basis, and pesel, etc., is 852 years. Meanwhile, how long was it from when they entered Eretz Yisrael until Churban Bayis Rishon? 850 years. Rashi explains, we calculate that as follows. The Pasuk tells us that Shlomo began building the first Beis Mikdash 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, they were in the Midbar for 40 years. So take off 40 from that gives you 440. So 440 years from when they entered Eretz Yisrael till they started building the first Beis Mikdash. The first Beis Mikdash stood for 410 years. There's your 850. So therefore, so now Hashem brought up the Golos and brought it 2 years before that V'nei Shantem expires. So that was the chesed, because that was the tzedakah, because otherwise the pasuk continues. Ki over kevedut maher, Hashem says, Moshe tells them in Hashem's name, you're going to very, very quickly be destroyed. So they would have been utterly destroyed had it been 852 years. It would have been, as the Gemara often phrases it, Nesmala Sasan, their measure of Averis would have been full, and they would have had to be completely wiped out, Rahman al-San. So instead, Hashem did a chesed, did a tzedakah, and brought the Golos about 2 years early. An interesting thing they say, so why not 1 year early? And there's an answer that's given to that. We know that in Gematrios, a difference of one is valid. You can have Imakolol. So therefore, if they were there 851 years, it would still be Imakolol. It's 852, which was V'nei Shantem, and already you'd have the Oved Kevedum. Therefore, you have to have a difference of 2 years in order to avoid that. The Kli Yaakov points out in Alder Maisa of a similar bunning. We know that the sun set 2 hours early for Yaakov on Hara Maria, so that he'd go to sleep there instead of continuing to travel on. You know, the famous Gemara that actually brings it on the Pasuk, but Hashem says that Tzadik came to my lodging place, how could he not sleep over you overnight? So therefore Hashem made the sun set 2 hours early. Corresponding to that is why the Golos was 2 years early. So now we're saying that was the chesed of Hashem. This way they didn't have to be completely destroyed. The Chassam Sofer brings a beautiful moshel on it. He says there was a chosin and kala get engaged, and the chosin knows that the kala is a bit of a procrastinator. So he tells her, here's the deal. We're going to have an engagement of maximum 1 year, and if you're not ready for the wedding at the end of 1 year, then we're calling the whole thing off. Well, so the year is passing by and nothing's happening. She's not putting it together anything she needs in terms of what she needs for the chasana. So the chosin finally comes up with an idea. What's he going to do? So he finally comes up with an idea. He skips town shortly before the wedding. Now, she has a built-in excuse. She can say, well, I would have been ready in time, but my chosin's not here. What do you want from me? So this way, the end of the 1 year is suspended, and this way the engagement doesn't have to be broken. So the same way, says the Chassam Sefer, the Eibush is telling the Jewish people, look, you've got 852 years to get your act together. But if you don't, then Hashem is saying, fine, then my shkine is going to have to depart. But this way, at least, things are on hold. This way, it's not completely, broken off. So Amar of Achba Yaakov, Shmamina, we see from that. Now, the Pasuk says, Ki Oved Tevedun Maher. It's going to be quick. So we see from that, Mehera Demore Alma, Tamni Meir, Bechamshin, Betauken Havu. You see that what Hashem calls Mehera is 852 years. What is the point of that? Marsha says, well, it means also then, we know that the Geula, Mitzvah Hashlema, is coming b'mehera. But that means, in other words, Hashem's timetable is different than ours. We've been in Golus 2,000 years. It seems like it is a very long time. But if Hashem, relative to Hashem, 852 years can be called Mehera, the same way, Mismama, Chakeloi, no matter how long Mashiach has delayed, and he's been far too delayed in coming, nevertheless, Chakeloi continue to hope and expect him and never give up, Chas V'Shalom. Because realize that for the Eibishter, even what was for us a very long time, is for the Eibishter Mehera.
Hashem is
Erech Apayim. Hashem is Erech Apayim, also the Roshoyim, also that, yeah. You know, you have the famous joke in that connection where someone davens to Hashem, he says, you know, Elef Shonim Be'enecha Kiyem Esmol, and all the money in the world is like nothing to you, so lend me a pruta. Lend me a pruta of yours. And what happens? He gets back a response from the Eibishter. Fine. deal accepted. Come back tomorrow.
That protest is
That protest would be like millions of dollars just for one day. Come back tomorrow. Yeah. So yeah. So anyway, so those are two explanations of this. Vayishked Hashem, that Hashem brought the Golos sooner, either that way the Golos of Yechonia was still intact, or that it was this way they didn't have to be this way they didn't have to be the Obed Tevedim. Next, the Mishnah had said that we warn the Edim in Din and Nefashis, we remind them of Fichot Nivra Adam Yechidi, that man was created alone, so that you should realize that the Kol Makayim Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael, a person preserves one Jewish life as Kiyam Olamalei, and vice versa, if you destroy one Jewish life, and therefore be careful if you think you're going to testify falsely against this guy and get away with it, you're not going to. So let's talk about the creation of Adam Rishon. So the Mishnah had brought a few reasons why Adam Rishon was created alone. And he said in the Mishnah, it doesn't just mean alone. Maharsha had pointed out, it doesn't just mean alone in the sense that there weren't many men and many women created, because by the other, at least the Fei Mara, a major Pirush on the Medrash, says neither were the other creatures. They were also, there was one bull and one cow created, and one male horse and one female horse, and so forth. No, the point Maharsha says is that with human beings, it wasn't even Adam and Chava at the same time. First Adam, then Chava was created out of him. So the Mishnah had given a few reasons for it. So again, one of them is to stress this point of Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael, and then the Mishnah had brought a couple of other reasons as well. So the Gemara now brings a braisa that expands on this. Tanan Rabbanan, Adam Yechidi Nidra. Adam was created alone, and again, not just alone that as in one man and one woman, but alone as only one man. So why did Hashem do that? For a number of reasons. Number one, Shaloyu Minin Oymin Habir Shuris V'Shamayim. One reason is, so the Minim don't claim that there are many powers in heaven. This was one of the reasons we had in the Mishnah. If there's many different people created at the same time, so they're going to come up with the notion that each creator created a person according to the way he wants. So this way they can't claim that. Davar Acha, another reason, if Nat Sadikim Upnei Rishoyim. Another reason is because to foresaw any arguments by the Tzadikim and by the Rishoyim. This one we didn't have in the Mishnah. Namely, Shloyev Tzadikim, Oymim Onur B'nei Tzadik, or Rishoyim Onur B'nei Rasha. You don't want that Tzadikim are going to say, you know what, we're descended from the Tzadik, so therefore we're naturally Tzadikim, we don't have to worry about keeping our Yetzirah at bay and staying away from Averus. We're not going to be Nichshol in it, because we have as a hereditary thing from our ancestor that we're not susceptible to the Yetzirah. And vice versa, Rishoyim Onur B'nei Rasha, and the Rishoyim are going to say, well, look, what do you want from us? We're descended from a Russia, and therefore we can't help it, and we're in the grip of our Yetzirah, and there's nothing we can do about it. But like this, everybody's created from the same order, is descended from the same order mission, so nobody has any such excuses. Another reason with Namishpachas is because of families, so there shouldn't be friction between families. So that you don't have families, different families of people are fighting one against the other. In other words, at the end of the day, everybody can realize that we're all descended from Adam Rishon, and therefore, what do we have to fight about? Now, it doesn't exactly work. Look, even now, we were all created, we are all descended from Adam Rishon, and you still have such fights between families and between nations and so forth. How much worse it would have been if there had been two or more men created at the same time. Like this, at least we have a fundamental, deep down, we are all related through Adam Rishon. If we weren't, then there'd be much even more friction than there is between families and between nations and so forth. Especially the Frat, actually, we're mentioning over here, Shnayim were created. There's a point that the Maharal makes in a number of places in his writings, and there are ideas related to that in some places in Rav Levi Yitzchak's writings and others, that two, Bechlal, represents Machloikis. We find that nice Bereshis. We find by Ma'aseh Bereishis, the second day, by Yavdil Elokim, Vein HaMayim Hashem Mitachas L'Rokiyah, Vein HaMayim Hashem Ma'al L'Rokiyah, and the Medrash says that on that day, Machloikus was created. So therefore, we're saying over here, if two men had been created originally, then it would mean that then we're woven into the fabric of the creation of man would be the concept of Machloikus, and we don't want that. Dabaracha, another reason, Mepnei HaGazlonim Mepnei HaChamsonim. You want to forestall people who steal, or people who extort from one another. Gazlonim was where they're taken outright without even paying. Chamsonim is where they extort it from the person, and they'll give them the money, but they still force them to give it up to them for payment. In Tanakh, usually the word chomos is more or less a synonym of gezel, but in Gemara terminology, it's a little bit different. The point is, in other words, the gazlonim and the chamsonim are going to falsely claim that, you know what, this land that you own, this parcel of land that you own, actually belonged to our ancestor thousands of years ago. So again, Madoch now, Adam was created alone, goes in the Chimson, and yet you have these problems of Gezel and Chomas, in Nivru Shnaim, Alachas Kamavakama, how much more so if to begin with there had been Adam 1 and Adam 2 and different people, or descended from different ones, how much more so that people would be able to use that as an excuse to steal and to extort land from one another. So all of this, even Yaakov points out, what brings up this question of Mipnei Man Nivra Adam Yechidi? Why would we expect that there were more of them? So he says, because after all, well, so first of all, we talked about yesterday, the day before, the Maharshal says, because after all, people are social by nature, so you would have expected that Hashem would have created a bunch of different people so that they can keep each other company. But also, look, even Yaakov points out that the world would be populated faster. And after all, Hashem created the world, L'shevas Yitzara, so you would have thought it might have been good for that purpose to create many, many men and men and many women to begin with, but we're saying for all these reasons Hashem didn't do that. Okay. Piska. Now, the Mishnah had gone further and said, another reason why Hashem created Adam alone, Olahagid Gidulosir Chula. It tells us the greatness of Hashem. Like this, the Mishnah says, a person stamps out many coins using a die, and all of them come out looking identical, but Hashem stamped everyone with the die of Adam edition, because everybody inherits their genes from Adam edition, and we all look different. So, Tony Gemara says, Tony Rabbanon, again, let's bring a braisa that goes into more detail about that. The fact that Hashem created Adam singly, and not even again, not even with Chava first, but rather just by himself alone, tells us, that, among other things, the greatness of Hashem, the King of Kings, Hashem, a person will stamp out many coins using one die, and all of them look identical. Hashem stamped out everybody with the die of Adam Arishon, everybody is descended from him, and all of them get their facial features from him. And not one person looks identical to somebody else. So now, thus far was the same as the Mishnah, but now the Braisa adds a hint for that, a pasuk that expresses this point. Shenema, the pasuk says, the seal will turn over like clay. The siats will come lavush, and then they will stand up like clothing. So Rashi explains, it means after a person dies, his choysam, the seal, the stamp that Hashem stamped him with human features, that turns into choymer, it turns into clay, into dust, because the person's body decays. Eventually, though, there's going to be tchefemesim, and then v'yisyatsu, they will stand up, k'moy levush, like clothing. And it also means, the Gemara talks about elsewhere, that people are going to come alive, that tchefemesim, with their clothing. So the fact, Rashi says, the fact that it uses the word choysam over here shows us that each person can be described as having a choysam, as having the stamp of human features on him, and yet every person looks different. Marshall says that's a little bit of a goichuk, though. He says that no, what it means is that a choysam, a stamp or a seal, is made from clay. And you can shape it however you want, like we have in Yom Kippur Davening, Kine Kachoymer V'yada Yotzer. So the other way around, what it means is that Hashem took that Choymer and turned it into a Choysam. Hashem took the clay of Adam Arishon, and then the genetics that every person is created from after that, and stamps it each in his own unique way. And then V'yisyatzvu, K'mor Levush. And when it sends it, when the pasuk continues, it stands up like clothing. What it means is, in other words, so a person looks different. A person looks different depending on what clothing he wears. Clothes make the man, like the English expression goes. So therefore, v'yisyatzvu k'mor levush. Therefore, the result is every person stands up looking distinctly different, just like people look different by virtue of the clothes they wear. So also expressing this idea that every person's look and every person's stamp is unique. In other words, Marshall says that that after all, you know, conceivably Hashem could have made everybody look the same. Wouldn't there maybe be certain advantages to that? In a way, after all, that would also show the greatness of Hashem. In fact, Yun Yaakov points out it could have been the other way around. Hashem conceivably could have made many different men and women at the beginning, and then made everybody who comes from all of them look identical, and that would also show the greatness of Hashem. But no, we don't want that. We want that people should look different because for the reasons that the Gemara is going to say now. Why indeed do people's faces not look exactly like one another? And the Gemara says by the same thing, ain't deus say in the Shabbos, people's deus are not the same either. So first of all, Shaloy Yir Odom, we're going to have that now in the Gemara, actually, in a minute. Shaloy Yir Odom, Dira Na, V'isha Na. So for example, a man doesn't see a nice house or a nice woman, V'yoma, and he's going to say, Shalihu, it's mine. So like this, in other words, if everybody looked identical, you wouldn't be able to weed out the fakers. Any person comes, and they look the same as any other, and he's going to say, this is my house. The Aiden won't be able to say, this isn't your house, because he looks identical to the actual owner of the house. And the same thing with wives. Therefore, Hashem made different people look differently for that reason. Now, what would there be, by the way, if everybody were to look identical, what's Isha Na? How would she look any nicer than any other? So there's a couple of possibilities that Mephoshim bring up. Yom Yaakov points out that it can mean, in other words, she could be Noah, for example, in her Meisim. She could have different people have different Meisim. Some have better Midas and better qualities and whatever than others. Another possibility, Yom Yaakov says, look, Hashem could have always made the women Taka will look different. So there'll be one who's Noah and one who's not Noah. But you could also have, though, at least the men maybe would have looked identical. And the answer is no, because then you're going to have the fakers over here who are going to claim, this is my house or this is my wife. Binyan Shloimeh from Ibnos and Maz points out a more balabatish answer. You could say, no, that she's nicer in that, for example, she wears nicer clothing or whatever. In any case, like this, because people look different, then therefore there's no possibility of doing that. Shenemar, as we find a pasuk that also expresses this idea. This was the pasuk in Iyov, back to back with the previous pasuk to Tishapach Chachoy Mechoysam, and the next pasuk continues. V'yimona merishoyim oiram, Hashem withholds the light from the rishoyim, uzroya romati shover, and therefore the upraised arm is broken. So Rashi explains, in other words, the imanim rishoyim oram, Hashem prevents that the rishoyim should not have their light, meaning the details of their facial appearance. And because Hashem holds that back, that they shouldn't have the same facial appearance as somebody else. In other words, represents the cluster upon him, the light and the glow of the face of a person. And why is that? In order that Zroya Ramati Shavar, in order that the upraised arm that somebody is going to try to strong arm his way into owning a certain house or taking a certain wife or whatever will be prevented. So it's back to back with the previous pasuk. So the point is, why is it Tishapach Chachoy Mechoysam? Because we need that, because the result of that is V'yimonim Rishoyim Oram, and the purpose of that is Uzroy Rishom Uzroy Roma Tishomer. This way, nobody can grab somebody else's zero isha. So the Gemara says in this connection, Tanya Hoyer of Meir Oimer B'Shloish Shadvarim On a Mishkan Mechaveret. There are three ways in which each person is different than the other. Bekoil, Bemara, or Vadas. Each person has a different sounding voice. They have a different appearance, like we were just saying. And every person has a different das, a different mentality, a different thought process. Why did Hashem make all those three things different? Bekoil, Bemara, Mishum, Erva. The fact that people have different voices and different appearances, that avoids problems of Arayas. So by day, the wife can recognize, this is my husband. Somebody else is not because he doesn't look like him. And if it's at night and she can't see, she can recognize him by his voice. Over das, we can have gazlonim v'chamsonim. Why do people have different das? Because of gazlonim and chamsonim. Rashi explains because if everybody knows what the other person is thinking, if everybody thinks along the same lines, then everybody's going to know, for example, where somebody else hid his money. So, like this, when each person thinks differently, so every person is going to think to themselves of a different good hiding place, and people won't come, people won't find it so easily. Marshaw brings another point as well. Another point is also, it means because people have different das, therefore not everybody wants exactly the same thing. One person likes this piece of property because it has certain qualities. Another one wants a different one because he has different one. If everybody thought the same, everybody would be fighting over the same exact property and they would want it. And the same thing any other assets or things like that. Because different people think differently, therefore different people find different things attractive and unattractive to them, and therefore therefore things are able to work like that. And nobody said people, and you have fewer instances of people stealing from one another. Okay. Next, let's talk about when Adam was created. Tana Rabbanan, Adam nifra be'erev Shabbos. So Hashem created Adam on Erev Shabbos. Now, why did Hashem do that? For a few reasons. So the Minim don't claim that Adam was a partner to Hashem in Ma'aseh Bereishis. If he had been created any earlier, then they would claim Hashem couldn't have done it all himself. He had to have the only other sentient creature, Adam, helped him do it. In fact, Yom Yaakov points out from a Medrash, Anaf Yosef points out from a Medrash that says that actually for the same reason Hashem didn't create the Malachim on the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis. You don't want to have the minim thinking, for example, okay, look, Hashem had to create a Shemayim, so what did he do? He had Michal holding one end and Gabriel holding the other end, and then Hashem set it up the way it needs to be. So the first day, that's why at the end we say Yom Echad, because Hashem was the Echad Ba'olamai. So to that extent already you have that even the Malachim had to be created later on, but on the second day. But nevertheless, you still would have had a chashash that maybe people would think that Adam helped Hashem in it, and therefore Hashem created him on Friday to forestall that argument. And Marsha points out this also fits very nicely with what we said, why we bring this in over here, because it also goes with this point of Adam Yechidi Nivra. Again, we're saying every other Nivra were created in pairs or in multiple instances. Only Adam was created alone. Had he been created earlier, then they would have said Hashem is Yochid Ba'olamai. Adam is Yochid on the earth, and therefore they must have joined forces together to create the world. Now that Hashem created Adam on Erev Shabbos, after everything else is done, then there's no possibility of saying that. Davracha, another explanation, Shem Tazuach Daite Olav, if a person starts getting proud of himself, Oymim Loi, then we can tell him, Yatush Kodmach B'Maisi Bereshis. Even a mosquito was before you in Maisi Bereshis. Don't think you're so special, you were the last thing created, and even the tiny creatures like the mosquitoes were created ahead of you. And Marsha points out, a mosquito is very significant over here. We have the famous story of Titus in the Agadah of the Churban in Perek HaNizkin, where he thought he overpowered Hashem, and what does Hashem do? He punishes him by a mosquito flying into his nose and pecking out his brain. So therefore, very significant over here that a person can be told that even the mosquito is in a way more important than you and was created before you. The Medrash says actually now, if a person does act the way he's supposed to, now the person's neshama was created first. We know that neshama is Yisrael, Olam Machshava. So if he acts in a way that's consonant with his neshama, then good, you came first. Your neshama was created before everything else. But if he acts more that his guf is the most important thing, then you tell him as far as the guf, even the yatush came before you. Famous says that there's a famous word that's said on it. That the yatush, the Gemara elsewhere says, machnes veinei motzi, it eats, but it doesn't excrete. So maybe it does, but microscopically, whatever, you don't see it excreting anything. So therefore, it's a symbol of a creature that is the ultimate in selfishness. It won't even give its waste back to the world. So we tell a person who's acting in a gaivitika, who's thinking of himself in a gaivitika way like that, you tell them that even that lowest of the low creature that doesn't even want to contribute to Ma'aseh Bereishis, it's still in a way great, still came ahead of you and is greater and more important than you. Davracha, another explanation, Kedeshi Konas the Mitzvah Miyad. This way, Adam can right away go into doing the Mitzvah of Shabbos. This way, the first thing after he's created is he has an opportunity to do a Mitzvah. Marsha points out that actually now was Adam actually created to observe Shabbos? Marsha says yes. There is an opinion in the Medrash that says that when it says Vayanechehu beGan Eden, now we always translate Vayanechehu, Hashem placed him in Gan Eden, but the Medrash says Vayanechehu also means Hashem gave him Menucha. Hashem gave him a mitzvah of Menucha on Shabbos. Well, therefore he'll be able to do that Menucha of Shabbos as soon as possible after he's created. There's a vort in that, there's an explanation in that connection also. I think it's from the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that says the idea was that the Eitz HaDaas was supposed to be also to him only for 3 hours. The Gemara later on, the Gemara is going to bring over here in this sugya, we're going to have the schedule of what happened that day in terms of creation of Adam Edition, and you finally have that during the ninth hour of the day. So if it was, let's say, a day when the sun rises at six, and it means about three o'clock in the afternoon, then Hashem commanded him, don't eat from the Eitz HaDaas. And what happened? Then he did, and before Shabbos already, he was kicked out of Gan Eden. So as opposed to, it's brought that if he had waited those 3 hours, there's an opinion in the Gemara, we're going to have it later in the Masechta, that the Eitz HaDaas was grapes. Was a grapevine. In that case, then Hashem would have become mutter for him, but he would have taken those grapes and squeezed them to make grape juice and made the world's first kiddush on it. And that would have been with that he would have accomplished the deed of a tachtoin and the babish that created the world for.
Kind of that did he get? He didn't work 6 days before.
He didn't work for 6 days before, but nevertheless, he'd still have the menucha of not doing malacha on Shabbos. You remind me, though, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, for example, you have the famous case that tells about in the Gemara Shabbos, if a person is lost and has lost track of the days, when should he keep Shabbos? So the Gemara actually brings two opinions over there. One is that the first day he realizes that he lost track, he should keep that day as Shabbos. And then after that, he'll have six work days. With the idea being that would be like other magicians' experience, where the first full day that he experienced was Shabbos, and after it, 6 weekdays. The other opinion, which is halacha, is first he counts 6 weekdays and then Shabbos, because that's the way we all experience it on a week-to-week basis, and that's the way the Eibush created the world to begin with. I mean, although they're not, I shouldn't say work days versus Shabbos. All the days he's allowed to work kedei chayav, because the korach nefesh, and only the only way he distinguishes Shabbos from the others is kiddush and havdalah. But whatever. The point is, in other words, you do have that opinion. And that, yeah, he starts with Shabbos just like Adam did. Davaracho, another explanation. Kadeshi Yikonis the Suda Miyad. This way, Adam comes right away into the Suda. Everything is already prepared. The entire world and everything that's in it has already been created. And right away, Adam can start enjoying it and start using it and start using it for the Dira B'Tachtarim. In other words, in the same way, Moshal Malach Vasa V'Dom, Shabbana Palturin, it's like a human king built a palace, the Shichlalon, and he finished it all, he finished all the finishing touches on it, the Hiskin Suda, and he sets up, he makes a big banquet, and then he calls in the guests. So in other words, the same way, Hashem created and perfected and everything in the world, and then he invites in the guests, Adam and Chava, to enjoy it. So, Shenemar, as we find Psukim in Sefer Mishlei that express this idea. The Pasuk starts by saying, Chachmos bons of a gomer, wisdom has built her house. Wisdom over here meaning the wisdom of Torah, but also meaning the wisdom with which Hashem created the world, the first of the spheres, is Chachma. And in fact, the Targum Yonason on the Pasuk, Bereshis Bara Elokim, translates, B'chuchmasa Bara Elokim, that Hashem created the world with Chachma. We say actually in Ashi Yotza also, Adam Chochma specifically, but anyway, so the point is, so therefore, Chachma is Bonsa Beis, so the Chochma of Hashem is what the world began to be built with. And the Pasuk continues, the Gemara is not quoting the whole Pasuk over here, but the Pasuk continues, Chotzma Mudea Shiva, she carved out her 7 pillars, Marsha points out, that refers to the 7 days of creation, which in turn corresponds to the 7 spheres that Hashem used in creating the world. Anyway, then the Pasuk continues, Tov Chativcha. So first the Gemara is going to quote parts of the Pesukim, and then it's going to dash in them phrase by phrase. Tov Chativcha B'Gemer, she shechted and prepared her meat for the party. Shochan Ardeseh Tikra B'Gemer, she calls for her young ladies, and she sends her young ladies and calls. Pasha Prat, we mean that she sends them as messengers to go announce around the city that there's a banquet. But here the Gemara is going to understand that it means she invites her young ladies to the party. So let's understand. Chachmas bonsa zumidasa shalakadosh baruch hu shebaras kol olam kol bechachma. Hashem created the entire world with chachma, and therefore that's what it means. Chachmas bonsa besa. Again, refers to the 7 days of creation, and in turn that refers to the alpikabala to the 7 spheres. Now, Tosfos points out, wait a minute, the world was created only 6 days. Why did we have 7 pillars over here? And the answer is based on the Medrash that says one thing that was missing at the end of the whole 6 days is the concept of menucha. Bos Shabbos, bos menucha. That's one meaning of Vayichal al-Kim b'yem ha-Shvi. Hashem put that last finishing touch on the world, creating the concept that there can be a menucha of Shabbos. Later on in the Masechta, by the way, we're going to talk about the concept of Akum Sheshavas Chayiv Misa. I've seen an explanation in that connection. The idea behind it, on one level, it's because because Shabbos is given to us and they can't horn in on it. But another point I once saw, I don't remember the marker, is like this. Basically, Hashem created the world in such a way that Yom V'Layla Lo Yishvosu. There's no taking breaks. There's no standing still. You've got to be constantly moving and doing. But the Eved also put into the world the concept of Shabbos for us. So for us, you have Shabbos. For the Goyim, they're still bound by the Yom V'Layla Lo Yishvosu. So therefore, if they're Shabbos, then Chayiv Misa, because they're misusing what Hashem created the world for.
So they are not allowed even on Sunday.
They're not even allowed on Sunday or Friday or Monday or anything. Yeah, it's a well-known thing. That's a well-known thing that, for example, a person is a prospective ger or geyerus is actually told by the rav who's supervising them that they have to be mechabel Shabbos in one way each week until their geyerus is finished. My sister once told me, actually, she knew a family that was in the process of gear and had to do that. You would think, you know, for example, okay, so they're just turning on a light switch, big deal. Like they felt like after that, the Shabbos is not a Shabbos anymore, even though it's only that one minor thing, but it's still a attack resonated in them the rest of Shabbos. So yeah.
Part of the neshama.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have the nefesh elikis yet, but yeah. Okay, so we'll continue this. We'll continue this drosha tomorrow. Hashem. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gorla. There's today. Yud Zayin Seven. So the Friedrich Rebbe writes in a mimer that when we talk about all the Goyim and Shloima's times were bottled to him, and in his times there was Menucha B'Sholem, is because really they weren't bottled to him, they were bottled to the Gili Ora and Soif that was shining in the world through Shloima. And for the same reason, then, that Rebbe points out, was the same thing. When the Pasuk says that people were coming to him from all the nations to hear his Chochma, the real reason they were coming is because they were being drawn to Elikus. Now, Mashiach is the descendant of Shlomo HaMelech. And in the same vein, the Pasuk says about him, V'noharu Elav Kol HaAmim, or Kol HaGoyim, all the nations are going to stream towards him. Why? Why is everybody going to be attracted to, they want to come to Mashiach? Because they're going to be attracted to the Elikus that he embodies, and they're going to want to partake of that. Continuing halachas of tzitzis, we were talking about if a piece is cut off for one talus and if you want to attach it to another or make a separate talus out of it, etc. So now, in the same vein, let's say you have a talus has proper tzitzis on it, on all four corners, and now you cut it in half. Each half of it now is big enough to be chayiv in tzitzis. So now, each half has one or two tzitzis on it. Now what happens though, so before we said that fine, if you want to keep them separate, you can put tzitzis on the new corners that were created, and you're good because each one is a shiur talus. What happens now, the Alter Rebbe says, what about the other way around? What if you now decide, you know what, let me sew them back together into one big talus? So you do not need to take off the tzitzis and put them back on because they didn't become posel, because again, they were in a piece of vega that was large enough to be a talus and which had four corners, so they're still called kosher tzitzis. All you had is that they were separated from one another. That doesn't posel them. After all tzitzis are put one after the other. Every time you put on tzitzis, you have a point. When the vega has one tzitzit, two, three, and only then four, and that doesn't posel them. So in the same way, the fact that this vega for a while had two tzitzis and now you're going to sew it back to another one and you'll have four, that's also fine, and there's no psul and no problem with that. But medvar mamurim, though, as long as each part has the minimum size of a talus, if one of them is the size of that shiur or larger, and the other one is not, then the one that does not have a shiur talus will in fact have to, after you sew the two parts back together, you will need to take off the tzitzis off those because they became posul because they were put on a piece that didn't have a shiur talus and therefore was potter from tzitzis. And once it became posul and you're going to put it back on, then you're back to the problem of tas of lemon osu. And then one more detail in that, then the Alter Rebbe continues, that would only be if you cut them completely or tore into two completely different parts. If they're still connected a little bit, then as long as they're connected at least three gudlin wide, a gudl is a thumb width, about three quarters of an inch, according to the Rav Chaim, so you're talking about like 2.5 inches are still connected, then it's considered completely connected, and therefore you want us to take off any tzitzis or anything like that. If you have less than three gudlin, then it would be considered like it's completely separated, and then again, if one piece is too small, then you're going to have to take the tzitzis off it before you reattach it to the other one.